Praise God. What a wonderful testimony that song is. Amen. It's not just a song. It's a reality. It's a promise. It is our Christian life in Christ Jesus. This morning I want to share a few thoughts on the subject, Christ in you, fighting for you. Hallelujah. That's one of the best thoughts that we can have, is the reality of knowing. My call to live this Christian life is not based on my power and my ability, but it is based on the power of Christ Jesus within me, given me by His Holy Spirit when I am covered by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, as we begin to look into God's Word, I'm going to ask you to go to the Gospel of John. There's a verse of Scripture there that we need to look at. None of you have ever heard it before. It's in the third chapter. And it happens to be the 16th verse. It's called the golden text of the Bible. I'm going to get to it in a minute. But as you're there, put your finger there and go to John chapter 10, verse 10, another passage of Scripture that is very, very familiar. But I want us to look at how they are linked together for our spiritual growth and development. And as you're doing that, I ask the question, how do you see yourself as you live your Christian life? What's the image you have of who you are and what you are in Christ Jesus? Does your self-image bring glory to God, or does it reflect a power of Satan ruling over your life? There are so many who have the name of Jesus but walk in perpetual defeat. So many who have the name of Jesus and the person of Christ within, but yet to look at them, you would think they were Eeyore. Oh man, life is so hard. How many feel that way?
Amen.
That's not the image Jesus wants of us to carry. How we view our life in Christ Jesus is key to how the world sees Jesus. We express our self-image in our ordinary conduct. To always be walking around with a downcast face, speaking negatively of ourselves and of the rest of the body of Christ, does not create a hunger and thirst for Jesus in anyone. But Jesus wants us to know who we are in Him. And so my goal this morning is just to help us understand a little more fully the nature of the spiritual warfare that we are involved in our entire lives. For those of you who are new in Christ, understand, you are in a constant tug of war. There's a spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who are always wooing you, come closer. I have so much more to give you. I want to show you so much more of who we, the triune Godhead, are and what we want to be in your life, how we want to infuse you with the living power of the resurrected Christ to meet and conquer every challenge and trial of life. And while that is a wonderful positive pull, Satan, the enemy, is trying to pull you the other way, with lies, deceptive thoughts and dreams and imaginations that are hollow and empty and end up in brokenness and regret and sorrow. That's a constant tug. But we need to understand who Jesus is in us. what the power of the Holy Spirit in us is. It's not just for doing signs and wonders and having exciting moments in times of worship, but it's for a consistent presence of the living Christ, giving us the strength to face every temptation and come through that temptation with a testimony of praise and glory, saying, "Hallelujah, the enemy laid a temptation, but the Holy Spirit gave me a victory before I stumbled and fell." Hallelujah. God is the one who is the overcomer. And the overcomer is in you when you are in Christ Jesus. He's your Savior. He's your Redeemer. The holy power is the power of God, or the Holy Spirit is the power of God, the resurrected life of Christ that is given to everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus. And how God wants to lift us up out of the bondage and the struggle and give us a divine confidence. Yes, I am me with all of my frailties, all my weaknesses, subject to everything that the world is subject to. But more than that, I am a child of God infused by the Holy Spirit, and I have a grace and a power way beyond me to live righteous and holy for the glory of my God, my Lord, my Savior, Jesus, that the world may see Christ in me, the hope of glory for everyone. Hallelujah. John 3:16 is the most glorious verse in all of the Bible. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You recall the setting of that in John chapter 3? Nicodemus, the learned Pharisee, came to Jesus in the middle of the night, sneaking in the back door to find out about Jesus because he didn't want the rest of the Sanhedrin to see him going to Jesus because they had labeled Jesus a bad guy. Jesus was an enemy to them. And he came saying, "What can I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus explained to him, "You must be born again." This learned religious man had to say, "What do you mean, be born again? How does that happen?" And Jesus had to explain, "We're not born of the flesh a second time, but we are born of the Spirit and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that He was about to offer." And He wanted him to know that there is another life other than the one that we were born into. There's a glorious life. And so He opens up to Nicodemus that there is a presence and a power of God to regenerate every man, woman, boy, and girl who will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will say, "He is the Christ, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of mankind, and I will entrust my whole life into His love and care." And so we have this glorious scripture. Cannot be exhausted, cannot be fully understood, cannot be fully comprehended or fully applied. But when we go back and just say, "Holy Spirit, teach me, what does this mean? That God loved me so much that He gave His only begotten Son to take my sin and my penalty and my shame and give me His eternal life, His eternal righteousness, His divine strength, His divine presence within this mortal body of clay, living, residing in me, because He's the Christ, the Redeemer." Hallelujah. You want to shout a praise to Jesus this morning? Go ahead once in a while, because He's given us a wonderful life. He's a wonderful life. Then my second text this morning is over in John chapter 10. Verse 10, in this chapter, Jesus is talking about being the good shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep. And He is contrasting Himself, the good shepherd, to Satan, the false shepherd, to Satan, the one who will offer up a whole lot in promises and delivers nothing but the wind and the whirlwind. That's all Satan has to offer. It's all he can give. No matter how he paints the picture, it's going to bring you the destructive wind and hollowness and emptiness and defeat. And Jesus told us very simply in John 10:10, the thief, Satan, the liar, the deceiver, comes to rob, kill, and destroy. There's a but in that verse. Hallelujah. Jesus has the contrast. But I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly. Overflowing life. Life that we can't contain. The abundance of life comes from Jesus. One of the mistakes that believers make in reading that passage of Scripture is they put the abundance of life off over into eternity. And no, I don't want to minimize that, because that is the goal, the destiny that is beyond description. Because the Scripture says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it hasn't even entered the imagination of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Amen. So you're talking about abundance of life. That's there, way, way, way beyond our ability to even start getting a grip around what is God got in store for those who love Him. But oh friend, the abundance of life starts here and now, today, tomorrow, every day, because eternal life is in me. Eternal life is in you. That's what sets the believer apart from the world of God. That's what takes away the dreariness, the ho-humness of, am I doing all right? Am I going to survive? Am I going to make it into eternity? Is a comprehension that the living Christ is in me, giving me His life. And His life is more than abundant. More than abundant. And so this morning we want to try to get a grasp of understanding how God loves us. Can anybody begin to express how much God loves you? The old songwriter years and years ago, writing about the amazing, abundant love of God, said, if every stalk on earth were a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Can you get a picture of that? Nearly 8 billion people on the face of the earth on this huge parchment, dipping their writing instrument into the ocean of ink and starting to dry it out. How great, how awesome, how wonderful, how magnificent the love of God. Before we all got done doing and saying what God is and how great He is and how wonderful His love, all the oceans of the earth would be drained out. That abundant life is in you because God loves you with that love. God loves you with that love. The psalmist trying to express the measure of God's love. I'm not going to go there this morning, but Psalm 136 starts talking about the love of God, and it stops at the end of every verse 26 times. His love is forever. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you read that, if you're just reading it to be reading through, you say, oh, how redundant. What's he saying? But when you read it and say, Holy Spirit, what is the psalmist saying here? Every little phrase, and His love is forever. His love is forever. His love is forever. It begins to well up within your soul and in your spirit, and you begin to understand the wonderful eternal truth that God loves you no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how good you are, no matter how horrible you are, no matter how rich you are, no matter how poor you are, no matter how famous you are, no matter how unknown you are, no matter what color you are, God loves you with all the love that is in heaven. Hallelujah. God loves you with all the love that is in heaven, always, forever. Just because we mess up doesn't alter God's love. Just because we think we're so saintly and holy and perfect and righteous at times does not increase God's love. Because that's all foolishness anyway. We don't love Him enough. None of us. We can't. Oh, but His love is the same for us forever and ever. Revelation 13:8 tells us that before God ever even created the foundations of this world, He loved us and sent Jesus, His Son, to be the Savior of mankind, dying on the cross in our place. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 tells us that though we think we're so good and we do so many righteous things and we impress so much of society with how good and how wonderful we are, in God's eyes, it's a stenchy rag. Filthy rag. Full of stench and putridness. No place to even come near to God. That's all right. God loves us anyway. Hallelujah. His love is reaching out to us. God's love is so great, so enormous, so wonderful, that there is nothing you could do, no amount of money you could assume to be able to bring together and present it before God and say, here, God, now love me. Can't give anything to obtain God's love because it already exists. And God's love is not about to change. Hallelujah. Oh, and our human relations, our attitudes towards people is just as fickle as the weather. Today we love them, tomorrow a man can't even hardly be near that person. You have relationships like that? Yeah, we all do, don't we? That's life. And we're that way in our attitude towards God. But God's love is just always abundant, always supernatural, always overriding what we are. Because we are His creation in His image. And He's drawing us to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, if I can say anything this morning, I want you to know and understand, you cannot destroy or diminish God's love for you. And sometimes in our Christian walk, when we err, as we all do, anybody here that never messes up really super good? We all miss the mark terribly, don't we? And when we do, we go into this place called the pit. And we like to wallow down there. Oh, I'm such a wretch. I'm so horrible. How could anybody love me? I'll never be anything but a wretch in my pity and my slime and mess. That's foolishness in the eyes of God. God loves you. He gave his son Jesus for you. The Bible says, while we were yet in our sins, he loved us and gave himself for us. Romans 5:8. He loved us. Oh, friends, don't let the enemy beat you up when you miss the mark. 1 John says, if we sin, confess your sin. Confessing is saying, God, I did it again. I failed again. But his love is so great, he forgives and what? Cleanses us. He washes it away. And oh, how God wants you and I to come to understand. His love is so great that when we repent of our sin, be it the first time or be it how many times there are that we stumble along the way and we come back to him and say, God, I failed you. I came short. I missed the mark. To know and understand that he loves us and he's washing our sin away. He's lifting us up to that place in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we get in that habit of just saying, oh, if I miss the mark, I've got to wait 2 weeks before I even dare go near to Jesus and ask him if we can renew our relationship. No. When you fail that instant, confess, repent. And say, oh God, you know what I am. I have no strength, but Christ in me is my strength to overcome. Christ in me is the power of God to help me walk righteous day by day, moment by moment. That's the love of God. Oh, I could go on and on. God is so good, isn't he? How many have found God is good? All the time, God is good because he loves us all the time. Hallelujah. Then there's a contrast. And oh, it's not even fair to say the contrast. It is like light and darkness. Because God's light is so brilliant that when we look at him, we can't even behold it. We can't take it in. We've got to look at God through really, really dark glasses in order to behold him because he's so brilliant in all of his glory and love. But then there's the dark side of Satan. Everything about Satan is death and destruction. Everything. That's what the whole name Satan means. The revelation when he is called, that name won't come off my tongue right now. How many know which one I'm trying to get to in Revelation? It starts with an A. Somebody say it. Pardon? Accuser. No, accuser, that's too simple. Apollyon, or something like, I don't know. Anyway, it means destruction. It means to destroy, to tear down, to just try to annihilate and wipe out everything. And that is what Satan is. When he's called the Prince of Darkness, as bright and brilliant and glorious as the light of God is, the darkness of Satan is just as dark and heavy and thick. You can't even begin to penetrate once you're in that cloud of the darkness of the devil. And that's what he wants to envelop us in if we stumble in our spiritual journey. That's why we need to see who God is and how he loves us so we don't allow Satan to suck us down into that darkness that is so hopeless and so despairing. Jesus said Satan is a thief, a robber, and a destroyer. As much as Jesus is the good shepherd who loves his sheep and lays down his life for his sheep, Satan is the bad shepherd who is trying to annihilate and destroy his sheep at every turn of the road. And that's not just for Christians who are trying to live holy. It is for the unregenerate who are in the bondage of sin and iniquity. Satan just keeps drawing them down, down, down into darkness. Satan is a thief. He robs. In Isaiah 14:14, Satan said there when his name was Lucifer, the archangel, the beautiful angel, more beautiful than any of the other created beings in heaven, I will exalt myself above the Most High. There, the first thing Satan tries to do is rob God of his identity. He's stealing God's place, God's position, God's authority. And he's been a robber ever since. He's been a thief trying to take away, take something that isn't his, including your life. He's always robbing. He's always taking. He can never give because it's not in his nature. There's nothing in Satan that can give. It can only take, rob. And then he's a killer. You read the early chapters of Genesis, the story of Adam and Eve and their sons. First, he robbed Adam and Eve of their place in the garden, of their position of relationship with the Father. He robbed them of the pleasure of living in the garden and tilling it, just having beautiful things, and brought pain and labor and heartache into their lives and fruitlessness. Lisa knows a little bit about gardening. She works at it about 10 hours a day. How would you like to work 10 hours a day and get nothing but thistles and briars? That's no fun. That's what Satan does. That's what he does. Now you contrast that to when you went out in the garden and no matter what you did, it grew beautifully. And there's fruit. Everything was just most gorgeous flowers you could imagine. Fruit beyond description. Everything was perfect. And all of a sudden, nothing. Well, then he came. Satan came to kill and destroy. He kills our relationship with God. He kills our peace. He kills our joy. We try to describe it, we try to express it, we can't. But just think how Satan, when he has control, the first thing he does is get us all into the place where we just feel like I can't even begin to approach God and God could never love me. How many have ever had that thought? God, you could never love me the way I am. Anybody have that thought? Pretty common, isn't it? Well, you're the most unlovely bunch of people I've ever stood before. That's how we all feel. Because Satan is robbing and killing our relationship with God. Satan robs us of our peace. Can you imagine the peace Adam and Eve had with God in the garden? How wonderful it was. God came down in the evening hours and walked with them and talked with them freely and openly. Hi, God, how are you today? You know, we say that, it sounds so flippant to say that, doesn't it? But that's a kind of relationship. It wasn't disrespectful. They were intimate, the most pure way. They were one with God. And then all of a sudden, oh, Eve, did you hear that? God's in the garden. Kind of like, well, I'm not going to say that. Where are we going to hide? Where can we hide? Look at us. Oh, quick, quick, get some fig leaves. Let's cover ourselves. What's the difference? Satan had taken away their peace, their relationship. We're hiding from God. We're running from God. We're feeling so unworthy from God. All of us, all of our days, until we come to an understanding of how much God loves us and just wants to take His arms and wrap them around us and hold us to His bosom and say, "You are my precious child. I'll never let you go. You're mine. I've redeemed you. And I love you with a love that you can't comprehend." He robs us of our joy. He destroys. Oh, how Satan destroys. Destroys everything that we have, everything we touch, when he has control of our life. Sometimes we feel like, oh, that person's not living for God, and they've got it so good. Look at all the money they have. Look at their home. Look at their possessions, their automobiles. They go on wonderful, exotic trips all the time. Well, we could tell you a story of when we started a little church up in Minnesota. We moved into a neighborhood and we had the humble little house on the corner that we had built. And all around us were these nice big homes that others had built and lived in. And we were drawn to one that was just kind of just kitty corner across the street from us. Great big house, probably 4,000 square feet. And we had our little 1,400 square foot split level, you know. And no curtains on the windows, no shades, anything. And one morning, Jan was in her devotions, and God said, "Call Darlene." Oh, I can't call Darlene. Look at her home. And besides that house, they've got this big sailboat in the front yard. And look at the big cars they drive. Wow, Lord, and look at us. Here we are. We're just bare walls and we're here. God said, "Call Darlene." Darlene came over and came to find out that though they had the materialism, they were so hollow, so empty, so much misery. And that day, God let Jan lead Darlene to the Lord. We witnessed to her husband, Doug, who wasn't ready to serve the Lord, and it seemed like he went down the wrong path and things just got worse. They divorced. He went one way, she another. And then a few years later, we found out Doug, running from God, went all the way to Florida, and the Holy Spirit chased him and got him saved. Amen. And instead of being a miserable man, he ended up being a Sunday school teacher and a late worker and servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Satan can make it look like there's good, but until Jesus comes in, all of that means nothing. It means nothing. Because he's always destroying. He's always tearing down. So in light of that, that's the battle that we're in. It's a tug every day. Therefore, in Christ, we are called to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. We're called to strengthen ourselves in Christ Jesus. You have to know who you are in Christ. Who am I in Christ? We have to speak to ourselves in true biblical terms. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old has passed away. I am new." Oh, that's so important to remember that. I am a new creation. What I was before Christ no longer exists. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. As a new creation in Christ Jesus, I am light. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 9 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." I'm a new creation who is a light in this world. How many tell yourselves that once in a while? It's a good message to preach to yourself when the enemy's crowding around trying to come after you. Oh, here's another one. You are His child, God's child. For we are adopted into the children, the family of God. John 1, chapter 1, verses 12 through 13 says, "But to all who received Him, He gave the right to be children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God." You're a child of God. If you're a child of God, Satan has no place in your life, does he? He has no power over you. You're a child of God. And then you are holy and loved. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. "For all who are in Rome, loved by God, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." What a wonderful thought that is, to just come to the understanding God has made me holy. God has made me holy. Can you say that to yourself? God has made me holy, and I am loved. I am holy and I am loved. What does that do for you when you realize that's what God's Word is saying about you? That's what the Spirit of God says to us. I made you holy. I've made you a holy child who is light and who is a new creation. And so as we begin to build ourselves up in the faith that way, we begin to come to the Word of God and just look to the Word of God for ways to strengthen ourselves. Psalm 1:1 says, "How happy is a man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. Rather, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on his word day and night." There is power in the Word of God. There is healing in the Word of God. There is light and instruction that brings us through the very essence of life with all of its complications and pressures and trials. God's Word in us is the strength of God rising up to face the challenges of life and say, "I have victory in Christ Jesus." Now, obviously, it takes time and effort to be in the Word, to be digesting the Word, to make the Word a part of our lives. But as we do that, we look at the Word, we begin to pray the Word back to God. If you want answered prayers, find the passage of Scripture that speaks to the issues of life you are facing. And you start praying God's Word back. One of the things that we have to learn to do is just to ask God to come and take away all of the things that are in our lives that are idols and hinders the freedom of His Holy Spirit. Ask God to give us a heart, a flesh, so that His Spirit can mold and shape us and move us in the way that He wants to. And the passage of Scripture for that is Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. Pray it often. We have to pray Galatians 2, 20. We sang it just before we opened the Word. Christ in me. Hallelujah. Well, there it says, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." So we have to remind ourselves, the person that we think we know the best, from our earliest days of memory up to the present, really isn't the one that's in us living. As we've confessed Jesus as our Savior and Lord, We made him our Lord and our Master. Jesus Christ is in me. How good that is when we go out into the world, into an environment that we know we're going to face a temptation, to be able to understand, listen, I don't need to be in a specific environment to live a victorious life. I don't have to have someone from a certain school of thought around me to overcome a temptation. I have Christ Jesus within me, the one who loved me and gave himself for me, and he is in me, the power of God to overcome temptation. And as I face that situation, that challenge, I can say, Jesus, you know I'm not going to be able to stand in this situation by myself, but you are in me. And you are the strength of God to overcome and be victorious. Carry that thought with us into the situations of life as a general rule, but especially when we know we're getting into a situation where we're going to be vulnerable to temptation, to say, but Christ is in me. Oh, there are so many other passages of Scripture. As a matter of fact, let me say it simply. See this book? A few thousand in there. There are a few thousand promises, principles, precepts, truths, commands, decrees. They're all for our life to be victorious in Christ Jesus. As we read the Word of God, I'm not reading a newspaper. I'm reading a love letter from my Heavenly Father who loved me and gave His Son, Jesus Christ. No, I want that letter to speak into my inmost being. And so as I read it, I keep my heart open. Holy Spirit, quicken your word. Holy Spirit, make me understand today the truths I need. And we just go through the Word of God. With those truths in our hearts and our minds, we move into a position where we start to declare to ourselves and others who I am in Christ Jesus. And it's important that we do this. We say, I am a new creation. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm a new creation. I'm so thankful God's Holy Spirit reaches down and recreates us. By God's grace, I am light and I am salt in this world. Not because of what I am, but because of who He is in me. I am an ambassador for Christ. I am a child of God living in a foreign country, reaching out to bring the inhabitants of a foreign country into a place of positive relationship and peace with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So every day, wherever I go, I'm representing the triune Godhead. And I want Christ to master my life. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. No, I'm not a defeated person. I'm not a Christian in the midst of a struggle. By Christ Jesus in me, I am more than a conqueror because I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I have been washed and cleansed and sanctified and made holy by the blood of the Lamb. And I am His. And I am a sweet-smelling aroma of Christ for those who are being saved. Hallelujah. We need to talk to ourselves in those terms. We need to build ourselves up. We need to let the Holy Spirit fill us with the joy and the praise of I am awesome in Christ Jesus by His grace, by His power. The result of this view of Christ is that we no longer see ourselves as hopeless wrecks, but we see ourselves as the precious redeemed children of a living Heavenly Father. because we understand we are redeemed. We recognize the love of God for ourselves. We begin to live for Him with joy, with peace, with a purpose other than I gotta survive today. Oh, today the Holy Spirit can use me somewhere, sometime when I'm least expecting it, a door will open and I can be a blessing for the Lord. We live this way, we recognize God's power to transform sinful man. When we think of what we were, but now as a new creation, child of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we've been transformed. And we look at that character across the aisle from us. That person the next desk over, that's such a reprobate. So hopeless. No, they're not. God redeemed me. What will He do with them? Hallelujah. Changes our whole perspective, doesn't it? Because I'm an ambassador for Christ. I can reach out to that soul, sometimes with a quiet witness, and all of a sudden there's an open door. Hallelujah. And our lives were filled with joy and peace. And we become that sweet-smelling aroma to those who are coming to Christ. Friends, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And He who has begun a good work in you is going to bring it to completion, because by His grace, by His presence, we are more than conquerors in Him. Now it's time to believe God's word and to embrace His eternal promises. It's time to cease trying to be holy through my own efforts and my own strength, and to begin to rely on His strength in me for every situation. It is time to ask Jesus to help me. Let Him be Jesus in me. All day, every day. If He is Jesus in me, hallelujah. Can you imagine what God has in store for us? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your grace, Your power, Your mercy that reaches out to us to redeem us, to transform us, to take us from a life of death and destruction and despair and hopelessness, to fill us with the radiance of Your presence within us and give us an anointing that we go forward to serve a living God, a God who is ever present in all of society, reaching out to the sinners that are in bondage and darkness. But Lord, You want us to be life and light. You want us to be full of confidence and boldness in the Holy Spirit. You want us to be able to rejoice in Your great love that has redeemed us and transformed us. We ask this morning, Father, help Your Holy Spirit to penetrate all of our defenses, all of the negative thoughts that we've embraced and held on to over the years, Lord. Help us to allow You to take those things and to wash them away by the precious blood of Jesus and give us a divine picture of who You intend for us to be, who You've purposed for us to be, whom You've given Your Son, Jesus Christ, to come and live in us so that we will be what You want us to be. Help us, Lord Jesus. We are so needy of You. We are so needy of Your power and Your grace in this world, Lord, and this world so desperately needs to see Your children living in a victory with a resilient testimony of Your great love flowing out of our lives. So I ask You, Jesus, lift us up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Help us to see where we are seated today because of the redemptive grace of Christ. Help us to rely upon Jesus at all times. and to reckon that our old flesh is dead and gone, but the living Christ is ever present, ever powerful, ever working. I ask it in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hearts in a voice of praise and thanksgiving to Jesus for who He is? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship You. We praise You. We glorify You, Jesus, for Your wonderful love and mercies, for Your steadfast love, the abundance of Your love. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You for all You have done for us. Thank You that our sins are buried in the deepest sea. Thank You, Lord, that You do not remember what we were. You only see what we are in Christ because of His blood, because of His righteousness that covers us. Hallelujah. We praise You. We exalt You. We worship You. We magnify Your name, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Holy Spirit. Praise You, Father God. Hallelujah. 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 Bless Your name. Bless Your name forever and ever. Hallelujah. 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 Praise Your name, Jesus. And Father, I want to pray for any that are here in our midst this morning who've been in a bondage, struggling to get a victory in Christ in their hearts, struggling to maintain a freedom to walk uprightly before You and before others. Holy Spirit, I just ask for You to come to each one. Take these scriptures, these thoughts, burn them into the heart and understanding. Lord, simple scripture, Zechariah, it is not by might, it's not by power, but it is by Your Spirit. And Lord, You are the one, by Your Spirit, You remove that mountain of habit, destructive thought, negative view of self. You remove it, and You make a straight, level way with shouts of glory to God. Praise to the living King. He has brought me through to victory. I ask You to do that for our brothers and sisters that may be in a bondage. Give them the liberty and joy, the victory that is ours because of Christ Jesus. We thank You for it. Lord, today I want to pray for our sister Sandy Hernandez, who is with her mother, who is very low physically. And I ask You to anoint Sandy to minister to her mom. Anoint her to pray the prayer of faith and see this mother touched and lifted up, brought into a place of harmony and relationship with You, Jesus. Use our sister. Bless her. Make her time with her mother profitable for the kingdom of God for all eternity. Strengthen her, I pray. We thank You for every answer, for every blessing, every victory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. Trust you have a wonderful day. Victorious week in Christ Jesus.